Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It takes a lot of hard work to make it look easy. This Mother's Day, Duluth Trading Co. can help you give her something that keeps up. Whether you prefer to shop online or in-store, Duluth has a motherload of gear, goods, and gifts to keep her comfortable and capable, no matter what needs doing. With Duluth's problem-solving details and legendary durability to boot, you'll finally be mom's favorite again. Check out DuluthTrading.com for all your Mother's Day gifting needs.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you are listening to Parenting Hell with...
Georgie, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
Goodbye. Can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh.
I'm going to say it. My main issue with that is the way Gemma says goodbye is so sinister.
Goodbye. Is that a horror film?
Yeah, it's like a film.
In the basement. You know, say you're Rob Beckett and you might get some lunch. Goodbye. What is that? Who was that?
Hi, guys. I've been listening from Ep 1 and never miss a week. I've got three kids, 7, 4 and 22 months. This is George, my 4-year-old. I did send a previous email to match Josh's tiredness. If you ever came across it, I'm sure you will laugh. Nice laugh at my expense. I dream of having Josh's sleep pattern.
Right. Mm.
Keep up the top podcasting. Thanks for keeping us laughing, Gemma.
Good email.
Good email. I've not really slept.
Everything you say, you can't do any other voice than yours, can you? Even that just sounds like Josh Widdicombe.
I know, mate. It's a strong taste, isn't it?
It's a narrow range.
It's you know, like an ingredient that whatever food you put it in, it'll taste.
It dominates.
That's what my voice. It dominates.
You're like, you know, you have turmeric, and it's just everything's a little bit orange for the whole week on your exactly. Nails.
You don't want to get me on your fingers. That's a weird thing to say.
You're the ticker sauce. Is it ticker or tikka?
Tikka.
I say tikka. Is that wrong? Chicken tikka.
I don't think that's wrong. I think, but it's like scone and scone, right?
I said scallops, and that's wrong. It's scallops, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't eat them, Rob.
No. Oh, yeah. Allergic or just you're saving the world?
No, I'm just vegetarian, mate.
Yeah, but that's not a fucking animal, is it? It's not a fucking yo-yo. Come on, mate. Play the game. I don't eat meat. It's a scallop, mate. Come on. I've had meat and bits of halloumi.
Oh, that is the highlight of the... Actually, you know what? That's my favourite moment we've ever done.
It's not, though, is it?
It's the best discussion since the start of this podcast.
Right, how you been? All right? Just busy? Paralympics?
Yeah. The Paralympics is going, but this is recorded pre-Paralympics.
Okay, so, I'll tell you what, let's do some Instagrams, because I've got loads of good ones to get through.
We've blabbered on
for too long. We've got nothing to say, have we, to each other, Josh, really?
No, it's over.
It's not over. I love doing this, right? I've got some bangers.
Genuinely, Rob, this is... It's a real pleasure to go upstairs and do this.
Yeah.
I mean that.
It sounded worse, but thank God.
You know, sometimes you work with people and you don't like them and you have to try and have banter with them and you think,
yeah, but you've had a good 10 years on Last Leg, haven't you?
I didn't mean that. I know it's like my bread's buttered there, Rob.
Right, here we go. Hilo. Hello, Rob, Josh and Michael. My husband and I love the podcast. We have a 10-month-old son and you have helped make our foray into parenting more fun and full of laughter. I was a nanny throughout my 20s and there was one family I worked for whose son was adopted at birth. Cooper was the light of their life and they doted on him. So much so that they had a binder filled with photos, papers, like his birth certificate and other memorabilia, each taped onto its own page. That's quite a nice idea, isn't it?
Memorabilia is quite funny. Like, yeah. It sounds like he's... Have you got the mouse mat as well? Yeah, and the key ring. Yeah, we've got them.
Yeah, but so all little bits and bobs of his, you know, childhood, including...
Oh, no. Oh, no. Which bit of him?
You got to brace yourself for this.
Oh, no, not the foreskin.
A lock of hair, his belly button stump.
Oh, fuck off.
And his foreskin.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
As well as a peanut that got stuck up his nose.
What?
It takes all kinds, I guess. Thank you very much, Amy Moss.
Oh my, his foreskin.
God, imagine knowing your foreskin's in a book.
It'd be also if it's a heavy book, it's like when you do pressed flowers, isn't it? Just forcing it down into kind of.
How would you present the foreskin in a book? Would you go side on or flat, like the penis is coming through the book, or
I'd do it profile?
You do it pop up, like pop up book.
Yeah.
Or do you have little flaps? You know, like that one, like the birthday party book, it's all flat.
Like Dear Zoo.
Yeah. Oh my God. Imagine cutting your son's foreskin off and putting it in a book.
Worst thing is, Rob, I'm doing the audiobook next week.
For the foreskin.
Yeah, for the
Right, we've got another good one here. This one's good. It's another fucking shout out for SodaStream, though, which is annoying, but it's funny.
Oh, fuck them.
Hi, Josh and Rob. I just listened to your podcast.
My SodaStream button's actually already struggling. So, you know, it's not all good.
It's not all good, no. Sometimes you don't want it bubbly. Anyway, I just listened to your podcast of Izzy City. We talk about reliving childhood excitement of the SodaStream. One payday 8 years ago, me and my then work colleague bought a SodaStream on a whim whilst trying and failing to find an inflatable hot tub. I mean, that is a classic bored Sunday buy, in it, where you've gone for something, you haven't had your appetite for fun fulfilled. Anyway, so they couldn't find an inflatable hot tub. They got a SodaStream instead. After a few too many carbonated red wines. That is fun, isn't it? Let's see what that's like. Fizzy. Yeah. After a few too many carbonated red wines exploded on us when we attempted...
Well, they were putting it in the machine.
Yeah.
Jesus would have tried that as well.
I know. And when we attempted to recreate the hot tub experience in the bath, one thing led to another. 8 years later, we have SodaStream to thank for our relationship and our 7-month-old son.
Oh, my word.
So a SodaStream started their relationship. Now they have a child and listen to this show. Full circle, Josh.
Oh, that's nice.
This is Nikki Pearson on Insta. Listening to Rob talk about looking at the wrong child reminded me of when my husband went one better. This was when I went to Legoland and I was watching another kid in the playground thinking it was my kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were wearing the same outfit.
Didn't it?
Was that? It ended up in the sun. Did you see the headline?
What was the headline? Beckett pedo.
Basically, Rob Beckett a pedo. If I can type in Rob Beckett paedophile into Google, it's not a great look, is it?
No, that could come back to haunt you in a court case.
It's in the news. So if you Google Rob Beckett pedo.
I said in the news is not an excuse for being a pedo.
No, I'm not a pedo. But what I'm saying is if you Google.
Oh, come on, let me off. Guys, it was in the news. That's all I was doing.
It was
just being topical.
How's this, eh? Rob Beckett got caught out being a bit of a bad dad in the worst way possible. I think bad dad's quite a bit underselling paedophile. The funny man was accused of being a paedophile. I was not accused of being a paedophile.
You were not accused. It wasn't an accusation.
He just said, what are you doing, mate? And then when he confused a child of his own at Legoland, Rob said on his Parent Nell podcast, a guy went, why do you keep looking at my daughter? And I was going, no, I wasn't. I got some sort of pedo panic liar. Turns out the girl's wearing the same outfit his daughter had worn the day before. Being a dad's hard enough. You can't just go. Rob Beckett.
Are they six words short of word count?
And you cannot put in a newspaper. The funny man was accused of being a paedophile. The funny man. If anyone's been accused of being a paedophile, which I wasn't, you can't start the sentence with the funny man. If someone's dancing, it don't matter if they're funny or not. Take that out of the description. Fuck me.
There's pros and cons about Beckett.
The he's a funny
He doesn't half make me laugh, but I wouldn't leave him with my kids. Let's put it that way.
I wouldn't unleash him in Legoland on his own.
No.
Anyway, I'm not a pedo.
I wouldn't want to see him on the school run, but I would want to see him at St. Albans Arena.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see him on the school run, but the kids will run if he's there. Quite rightly too. Anyway, so yeah, I didn't get accused of being a paedophile, but I got confused about which one was my kid. Anyway, so this person, Nikki Pearson, my little girl was taking part in a first baby ballet show and I was unable to make it as I was away on a hen do. I asked the dad, my husband, to take lots of photos and videos of her so I could see the performance. Later that day, I received a photo and a video of a girl that I didn't recognise. And I rang him and asked, why are you sending me pictures of someone else's child? And he said he hadn't. On closer inspection, he agreed that they were not of our child. He had spent the whole show taking pictures and videos of a random child.
Oh, my God.
And his excuse was that they all look the same because of their costumes.
Oh, that is awful.
We'd burn the phone and run away. Yeah,
that's the end of it.
That's the best thing to do.
Is he a funny man, though? That's the question. If he's funny, he's fine.
Funny man founded videos of child in ballet outfit. Right, I've got a couple of other good ones here. All right, I'll do an informative one and then a funnier one, okay? This one, night terrors, because I was talking about my daughter having night terrors.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Rob and Josh. I just listened to your episode where you talked about night terrors. Myself and my brother had them until we were 16 and quite regularly. However, we never remembered them. My aunt's favourite story is that when we went on holiday and she stayed with some of her friends, I, at the age of 14, screamed and ran through the living room where all the adults were having some drinks, flailing my arms around, running with high knees, yelling, get it out of my mouth.
Oh, my God.
I have no recollection of this.
That would freak me out.
I know. Get it out of my mouth. It's anyone ever saying get it out of my mouth is funny, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely... So if your daughter ran through screaming, you're just having a drink, and a 14-year-old girl runs through screaming, shouting, get it out of my mouth, that is the evening ruined.
And then I go, that's not my daughter. She's just wearing the same clothes my daughter wore yesterday. Anyway, so my 8-year-old son started having night terrors. This is the same lady. So it's hereditary, apparently. Hereditary night terrors.
Oh, okay.
So that her 8-year-old son started having night terrors at the age of 2. And I found that a gradual change in temperature can bring him out of it slowly and settle him down. I walk to the bathroom to run his hands under cold water. He stops having a night terror, and then I can take him to bed. They are heartbreaking to watch, but he wakes up in the morning none the wiser, which is a big relief. Tory.
Yeah.
So that actually worked with us when the 3-year-old was having this night terror, and it was a bit of a cold evening. She was just going mental and crazy and not even looking at you, looking through you. So I picked her up and just went into the garden. I just sort of walked around the garden, and that cold sort of calmed her down and slightly woke her up a little bit, and then I could take her back to bed. So change in temperature, I think, is the
way
forward.
That's a good tip. That's a very strong tip.
Yes. Very much like one in a book. That's a strong tip next to the lock of hair and a peanut. Right, last one, Josh, and then we'll bring on our guest. Hi, Rob and Josh. I love the podcast and have listened since the beginning and resonate with everything you talk about, as I have 2 children of my own, 10 and 6. I wanted to share with you the story of when I accidentally left my daughter in a sweet shop. We were on a family break. So
that sounds like a Roald Dahl book.
Hopefully there weren't any funny men in there. in a sweet shop. We were on a family break with some friends at Butlins.
Oh, Rob, it's really pissing down. I can see next door I've got their washing outside and I am loving it.
Oh, no, covered in slugs.
Yeah, this is absolute slug weather, mate.
Absolute slug. Slugsville, Tennessee, mate. That's what this is. Anyway, they're at Butlins and we're heading to the fun fair. We passed a sweet shop. My son, who was 5 at the time, wanted some sweets. Myself, my husband, and the 2 kids went in the shop. It was quite busy, so I parked my daughter, 18 months. Funny name. No, yeah, 18 months old.
We should do that every time.
Every single time without fail.
Let's do that every single time without fail and see how quickly
we lose listeners. Drops. When we hit 10% listener loss, we'll stop doing it.
Yeah, okay.
It was quite busy, so I parked my daughter, 18 months, strange name.
Yeah, funny name.
In a pushchair at the far side of the shop, so he weren't in anyone's way. My son chose his sweet and we queued up to pay. My husband said he was heading off to the fair to meet our friends, so I said we would follow and meet him there. Once we had paid, I left the shop with my son and we headed to the fun fair. On arriving and finding my husband and our friends, I realised my daughter in her pushchair was not with us. I assumed my husband had taken her and he thought I had her with me. After the panic of realising neither of us had her, I ran back to the sweet shop. In that situation, who's at fault there? It's got to be the dad.
Yeah.
Because he's got no kids.
Yeah.
At least the mum's got one kid.
Yeah, exactly.
And normally it's with two kids, you take one each. That's how
exactly.
Do it. Anyway, so she runs back to the sweet shop to find a daughter sitting in a pushchair with handfuls of sweets. She has cheeks full of pineapple rock, which was dribbling out of her mouth, and the pushchair was full of half-sucked sweets. I was feeling a mixture of relief, embarrassment, and panic that she could have actually choked on the mouthfuls of rock and she was only 18 months. And also, as I sprinted back to the shop, I was so out of breath, I couldn't catch my breath to speak. I was then confronted by the lady working in the shop, who was quite angry and made us pay for the sweets that my daughter had sucked on, totaling...
I'd say that's fair enough.
19 quid!
Whoa! That's a hungry daughter.
That's a hungry daughter. That's an expensive sweet shop. Keep up the good work, Charlotte.
Oh, thank you, Charlotte. I'm glad you found your children. Yeah, obviously.
Always good,
that goes without saying. At any point, if any of you lost your children, I hope you find them.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Well done. And I definitely think that was the dad's fault.
100%. We will be, with these stories, we will be handing out the blame and deciding it. And that is legally binding.
Yeah, exactly. He's in the doghouse for that. Now, Josh, who is our guest this week?
Absolutely brilliant. I love this interview, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie Bridge.
Yes.
She's a little bit late, but we didn't make
she's
too much of it.
She's a pop star, babe.
Exactly. No,
she's only 5-10 minutes late, wasn't she?
Yeah.
But she was trying to get a child to sleep, so I let her off.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, it's great. Frankie's absolutely brilliant. And she's, you know, I think brilliantly honest. You hear about all of that in the chat. And yeah, she's really lovely and lovely family, lovely couple, her and Wayne. Yeah, I hope you enjoy the interview.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you so much for having me. This is like the first podcast that I've ever asked to be on. So,
wicked.
You should be really grateful, you know.
Hell yeah.
Late to something that I asked to be on. So,
yeah. Thanks. You loved it so much, you forgot you were on it. Yeah. It happened to me first time I went on the Jonathan Ross show, actually. I just didn't turn up. Completely forgot.
No,
I was on
you
it.
Didn't.
And I'm joking.
Oh, fuck you.
It's going to be a long recall, Frankie, if you thought I was serious.
It's really going
to be long. Shit. Can we do an intro, Rob? I mean, it feels like we've started.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, Frankie Bridge.
Thank you for having me.
And we should explain that you are a little bit late. Nothing wrong with that, Frankie. I'm not throwing any shade. However, that's because, and that's why it's good for this podcast, because it's a real life reflection of how busy people are with kids. So you've got you're doing this podcast, but you've also got your nephews and your own kids in the house. Is that right?
No.
Kind of holidays.
Kind of, right. So Wayne has actually taken my kids out. So my kids aren't in the house. They're bowling with their cousins. But their baby cousins are here. My sister's just popped out. And so I gave one of the twins a bottle and then he fell asleep on me. And I'm going to be honest, I was just really bloody enjoying it. And then I put him on the sofa, put a million cushions, you know, like a cushion fort, and was just kind of watching him, went to take a picture and then had a message from my PR girl like, Frankie, the guys are waiting for you on Parenting Hell. And I was like, fuck, just ran into Wayne's mum and was like, watch the baby. I was supposed to be on a cop pass. Bye. And just ran upstairs. And then here we are.
It's the perfect podcast to be late for that reason,
I know.
Right?
It's almost like I'd set it up, really. But I hate being late. Ooh.
How old's your nephew?
I want to say 10 months.
That's a cute age, though, isn't it? Yeah. When they're a bit settled into their routine, they're all squidgy.
And they're like kind of just starting to stand up and like very, my brother-in-law finds it very stressful, which only makes me enjoy it even more.
Because
I've been there, done that. Yes, and they've got twins. So.
Oh, blimey. Okay.
Yes.
Where's the other twin?
He is out with with my brother-in-law for a walk to get him to sleep. And he's a little bit hungover today, so he's very
He's only 10 months old. It's a bit of fun. We can all enjoy that kind of
humor. I thought your jokes would be better than that.
They're not, Frankie. They're good. They're solid, though, and they're reliable. Mm-mm. You know, we know about what level we're getting.
But I have to say, my sister looks forward to driving the boys, you know, when they're at that stage where they're having to drive the boys around in the car for sleeps, and she looks forward to it so she can listen to your podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice.
Do you listen?
Yeah. I do. I love it. We have bonded over said podcast.
Oh, really? What bonded the sisterhood then over the podcast? Was there something in particular?
Just that we found it very funny. And we I went to visit her. They live in Bermuda. And we were driving around and the kids were asleep. And we were both like laughing out loud.
We've been to Bermuda by proxy.
You have been to Bermuda.
Yes. We should do a tour show in Bermuda, Rob. Book it
I think they'd love you.
So they're over here now. So they live in Bermuda. And then you went to visit. And then they've come back. And they're staying with you.
They've come back. Yeah, there was a lot of info in there.
So what's your setup for people that don't know? What's your setup with kids and people in your house normally when you haven't got your sister over?
So Wayne's mum and dad live with us, mm-hmm. Which seems to blow people's minds. Like on Loose Women, they talk about this a lot.
Yes.
They just can't seem to get their head around it. But it's great. It just kind of happened by accident. They're both retired.
Yep.
They sold the house by accident.
They did sell their house.
They're on Can't Pay, Take It Away.
Yeah, so then they were like, right, we need to move in for a bit because they'd sold their house or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they just stayed and never left. And we never had any other childcare. And so it was perfect.
When did they, how long have they, did they arrive
when
temporarily?
Did they infiltrate?
Yeah.
This was years ago. Because when I first met Wayne, he was playing football. So his mum kind of like ran the house and sorted everything out for him. So when I was still in the Saturdays, so I was still working all the time. So that was good for me. I didn't want to be running a house or anything like that.
Yeah, of course.
So it's just kind of gone from there, to be honest. And then we had kids and then they helped look after the kids and it's just escalated. But a lot of people couldn't think of anything worse.
When I was growing up, my gran, we had like, she had the kind of half the house and we had half the house, if that makes sense.
You lived in Berlin, didn't you?
Did she?
Yeah, we lived in...
Unfortunate positioning of the wall.
Yeah, she was constantly trying to get over and we were trying to snipe her off.
Leave it out, Nan. You picked your side.
But it was like we were in different houses that were kind of connected, if you know what I mean. Have you got separate areas or is it all one?
No, it's all very much all one. We are very much as one.
That must be, that's hard for you though as well. How old are your kids as well, by the way, Frankie? You got two boys, is that right?
So one is just about to turn six this week when we speak.
Yeah.
And seven, so six and seven.
Yeah, all right. But also quick turnaround.
Yeah, there was 22 months.
22 months, blimey.
That 22 months is fast, isn't it? But
I know. Well, funnily enough, on Strictly, my first turned one, and by the end of Strictly, I was pregnant. And it's Wayne's.
I think that happens on Strictly.
Yeah, there's worse stories about Strictly. Don't worry about that.
Definitely Wayne's.
It's definitely Wayne's, yeah. So was Wayne still playing football when you had kids, or had he finished by then?
He was still playing football when we had our first.
Was that at West Ham when he didn't care anymore? One of those.
What are you trying to say? How dare you?
I messed it. But what I'm saying is, footballers' schedule is insane, and you can never. So it must be.
So is it? I always thought footballers had loads of time off.
I side with you a little bit, Josh, in that a day for a footballer is they go in, train, and then they predominantly come home and have a nap, which I very much knocked out of him very quickly.
Okay.
And then before a game, they go for a pre-match lunch and a pre-match walk, which I could never get my head around. I was like, what is your life? don't feel too sorry for him.
Well, no, I was thinking it more for you, like if you would you having to do more of the parenting when he was working, because he's, you know, they do play away from home and all over the place, don't they, in the season.
Did you mean that in two senses?
It did sound like a suspect phrasing, Rob.
Did it sound bad?
I didn't want to pick you up on it, but when Frankie did, I thought, oh, thank God she dropped that.
At different football stadiums for their football club at work.
To be honest, I was working loads anyway.
Yeah.
And when we had, he was actually, I don't know, I don't remember him going away that much. Again, maybe Robbie wasn't actually playing that much.
I know.
Really remember. But he was there. And when I went in to have him, when I went in to have Parker, bless him, he was still training. And I think he might have had a match. And I made him sleep in like the pullout bed at the hospital. I was like, there's no way you're going home and leaving me. So he'd go to training and stuff from the hospital, sleeping on this like plastic pullout bed.
Did you? And were you in the Saturdays for a period after you had a child?
Yes, I was still in the Saturdays when I had Parker.
And what was that like? Did you take him on tour and stuff?
No. So we had just... Oh, what did I do? I can't even remember, you know, guys. I must have had him while I was on tour. I can't remember. Yeah.
As long as
I
you didn't have him when he was in S Club Juniors, it's all right. that's the key point.
Yeah, no, he kind of must have come around with us. Yeah. I don't really know.
Yeah.
No, you know what? We only ever used to do, I don't know what it's like for you guys, but on tour for us, we'd only ever really do two shows back to back. I think I did a lot of like traveling there and then coming home.
Yeah.
So it's more, like, it was quite broken up.
Yeah. But... So you could get like childcare and things like that. Or if there was only coming for one hotel, like if you went with, you know, a friend or your sister or a grandparent, they could sit in the hotel room, I imagine, with the baby while you did the show and stuff. Yeah. Oh, amazing. But yeah, because you're both so busy, so it must be hard to sort of balance it all out. But now, obviously, you're still working loads, and Wayne don't do anything, does he?
Fuck all, no.
So does he do more of the parenting now? Because you're writing your books, you've got another book out. So when you're writing the books, is he doing more of that? What's the schedule at home? Because now he's retired. He doesn't have a job, does he, really?
Yeah, no, he retired like years ago now.
And he did 2 weeks in the jungle. Really... That was tough.
Yeah, that was really hard.
He had to do a pre-jungle walk, didn't he, before the show?
Jungle walk and lunch before he went in.
And that when he got back, and then that was it.
he does do most of it, and he's good at it because he's great at playing with them and stuff. Like, I'm not very good at the playing stuff. I'm good at like bedtime and all of that. Although he did complain that yesterday I came home from work, had a nap. His mum was on the phone and he came back from the pub and Carter, our youngest, was like, "No one's giving me dinner." He was like, "Oh, right, yeah, I guess I'll just do dinner then, yeah." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, well, could you feed our child?"
I think that happens sometimes when you do have a lot of childcare. Like, my in-laws live around the corner, so they pop in quite a lot. My mum and dad are up a lot. That when there are a lot of you in the house, sometimes you actually do less parenting as a whole because you think, I'm sure someone else is doing it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You do. You all think each other's done it, and then you're like trying to get them to go to bed, and they're like, "But we haven't had dinner." And you're like, "Oh, yeah, sorry."
Yeah. Yep, sorry about that. How do you split it then? Does he? Because I know Wayne a little bit, and he's always up doing some sort of exercise, some sort of insane exercise regime. So is he normally up early and exercising, then does the kids' breakfast and school run stuff, and then you do more stuff later on, or how do you?
Yeah, it's kind of such a mix. Like, as I'm sure you're aware, like it's not every week I'm as busy. Yeah. Not every day is the same. So if I'm home, I will do school runs and pickups, or we'll do it together. Like, I always think our kids are so lucky. They get both of us there so much of the time, whereas like, I would never have had that as a kid. But yeah, he would generally either get up at the minute he's getting up early to do a workout before I go to work and then like sorting the kids out. Or we'll both kind of do it once we've done school drop-off or whatever. And then we kind of just figure it out as we go. Like, we're not like the most organized people.
No, I bet.
But he has this real issue with like, I kind of tend to go, "Well, you're the stay-at-home parent, so they've got a party next week. You need to get a present." He's like, "No, it's your job." And I'm like, "Well, technically it's not my job. Like, you should be doing it."
You're actually retired now, so you should be doing it.
He just can't do those types of things, but that's fine. I just literally go online and order something and that's it. But he's very hands-on.
It's weird to like retire at like 30. Like, he was younger than we are now, Rob, when he retired from football, presumably. Like, imagine like... Yeah. Just going, "Well, that was it. That was my career done now."
Well, I think that's a lot of footballers sort of struggle with that because it's sort of your purpose has been taken away, that kind of thing. But I think maybe it might be a good thing for you guys, though, because I think you have to make a lot of sacrifices if you're, you know, with someone who's in a band like you or someone in a football team, because their career sort of dominates what the other person sort of does. So, like, if you get a move somewhere that you sort of have to go, and then if you're on a big worldwide tour, you're just not at home for 6 to 8 months sometimes. It's sort of, it might not have worked properly if you met at 21, if you know what I mean.
Completely met at the right time, because I always say that I'm like, when we were together, he got a move to
Man City,
Sunderland, he was at Man City when I met him, which was not too bad, but then Sunderland's like felt like the other side of the world. And I did say to him, like, I would never be able to be that girlfriend or wife that can move with you because of my job. So we're quite lucky that we met when he was a bit older and he was kind of near the end, and then we had kids, whatever, and my career was nearing the end. So it kind of all worked out for the better.
Yeah, really. Of course.
But yeah, some people I know, they move all over the place.
And yeah, my son looks awful, didn't it? Like when you look at it from that point of view of like moving the family somewhere, you know, because
no one feels sorry for footballers, but let's not act like anyone does.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Poor Lionel Messi's just had to move his family to Paris, Rob.
Nightmare.
To another mansion exactly. In Paris. Do you know what I mean?
And how the kids been like since lockdown and stuff? Because they imagine they were at school when it first started, but are they all back in school now and loving it and stuff?
Yeah, they are. I mean, loving it is a strong... Like, my eldest seems to really love school. My other one could just not care any less. like, he's interested in the stuff that he's interested in. But yeah. School, like, he literally said to me the other day, he was like, Mummy, so considering he's five, Mummy, it's just so rubbish because all I do is get up, I go to school, I come home, I do homework, I go to bed, and I get up and I go to school again. And I was like, welcome to the rest of your fucking life, mate. You will go to school and then you will get a job and it will just be this for the rest of your life.
Unless you're a footballer, then you can knock off at 33.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm always saying to him, like, look, you either need to be like really clear, like really concentrate at school, or like be really good at some sort of sport, or find something like a talent that you're really good at. Otherwise,
you've got to find something to distract you.
Please, just find something.
Can you see already if they're like got your performing gene or if they've got the Wayne Bridge sporting gene?
I mean, I'd love to know. My two were like, where we live, football. I don't know, same for you guys, but yours are a bit younger, but football is like a massive, everyone's so desperate for their kids to play football.
I know, it's a bit tragic, I find, at points.
Oh, it's just a bit embarrassing. Like,
Southeast London, they'd rather that than anything.
Anything else?
Anything
else. Scientist? No. Nah, footballer.
Boring football. That's all they want. And they, you can see in the
such a long shot as well, isn't it?
I know. Like, isn't it? And they just like... They all play it. And like my two are the only two, were the only two in their year groups that didn't play football, which I think just blew people's minds.
Yeah.
Like they were the only two and they just couldn't care less. Amazing. And like my son at one point, I was like, oh, is he going to walk past everyone and be like really upset that he's the only one not there? And he was just like, bye, see you tomorrow.
But the thing is though, Wayne's not very football-y. I know he played football, but he's not really into football massively. He's more into music and things like that, isn't he, really, I find?
Yeah. I mean, they've both started. My youngest is playing piano this term.
Oh, lovely.
The other one's playing violin, which is just going to be hell on a stick. But you know, I'm encouraging it.
Yep.
So it's looking at the minute like they're more musical.
More music.
But, I mean, let's see how long that lasts. He had a drum kit last year, and that's already in the loft. So,
or you know, you've got a new book out now that maybe they could be writers like their mum.
They might be writers. They do, and they seem quite proud of me about that as well, which is really sweet. Which that you know they couldn't care less. Like we've tried to show them stuff, and like my eldest is just like looks up from his iPad and looks back down again, and he's like, "Yeah, whatever."
And you're showing him videos of S Club Juniors, going, "Come on, mate, give me a chance here."
I know. Yeah, I'm like, I'm a bit. Have you ever seen Mean Girls? I feel like I'm the mum. Like I'm a cool mum, like showing them pictures of me when I was and videos when I was performing when all their boy mates come round. Like
that's
still got it.
And then just sort of people that like that's me and Craig David, or just some people that were really massive at the time. And they're like, oh
yeah, that's gonna be me.
Also, the thing is, I do think kids are more like into like you know at school books are such a big thing, and getting a library book and being able to read is sort of they're so proud of it. So if their mum's written a book, it's you know a really impressive thing, and they're sort of proud of you about it. And stuff. Did you talk about the kids? Because the book's about motherhood, mental health, and me. Do you talk about the kids in the book much, or is it more your sort of experiences
just
of being a mum?
Just to be clear, by saying me, you mean Frankie. It's not about mental health and Rob Beckett.
It's not Rob's version of motherhood.
It's called Grow, Motherhood, Mental Health, and Me, aka Frankie Bridge, not Rob Beckett.
She was really struggling with the word count, so she wrote 100 pages on Rob Beckett.
Motherhood, Mental Health, and Rob Beckett. What he means to women.
I think you could just title yours Chicken on the Floor and then be done with it.
Fried Chicken by a Bin by Rob Beckett.
Yeah. Like, can I just say, I know I digress, but at that moment, I said to Wayne, I was like, you know, in that moment, he felt like he was being so profound. He had just said something that no one else had ever said in that moment.
Can I be honest with you? I don't even remember filming it. So I don't, at no point, because if I even knew that I did that, I wouldn't have posted it, but I just did it. But yeah, that was, I've actually, you know, we're like, loads of people talk to me about that, and I've had some backlash from geezers going, my mate saw it at Wembley, apparently he had a photo of you, you weren't even drunk, you put it all on.
Oh, like,
it's a conspiracy theory. I was like, there's no way.
If you've managed to do that, acting. Rob. You, that would be, why have you waited 10 years to do that? If you've had that in your locker, that unbelievable drunk Rob performance. Yeah.
The weird thing about that is I get tagged with KFC on every single post anyone ever posts KFC with, to the point where people have been sending me complaints about the chicken.
Stop it.
Like, that hash brown in it at fucking Croydon and KFC, fuming at Rob Beckett and at KFC. Oh, if I'm like, I've got a hotline to the Colonel, going, come on, mate, sort the hash browns out.
Rob, do you know what the secret sauce is? Do you know what the special ingredients are?
I don't know what the secret blend of 11 herbs and spices is. I've got no idea. Right.
I thought they'd let you into that by now.
No, nothing.
Just for your info, for your next celebration, there is a gravy fountain with fried chicken that you can have. You know, like when you do it like a chocolate fountain, you could do it as a gravy.
I've got to try and move on from it, though, Frank. I cannot be divined by fried chicken. That can't be my legacy.
I think it is my legacy, isn't it?
It's too late. Your kids are going to be so proud when they're older.
We all know when you die, what is going to be in your obituary? It's going to be a picture of you next to a bin.
I'm going to
next to the Colonel. Yeah,
I'm going to have to go to Qatar and get drunk and get arrested to change it, and then be one of those free Rob Beckett stuck behind bars in Qatar.
As long as you're in the bucket hat, no one cares.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure they'll let me have that in prison. I can't even remember
what you asked
me. Well, about your book, your PR person's going to be furious that you turned it back around onto me.
That's the book time done. Let's get back to your parenting.
I'm really sorry.
You're doing PR for KFC now.
What did you ask me? What about
your book? So the book, is it more about because obviously, like, I think it's fairly well documented, you struggled with mental health and postnatal depression. Was that after your first child or second? Or both?
No, so I had antenatal depression.
Oh, sorry.
Depression. No, that is fine. So depression while I was pregnant. And funnily enough, like, I assumed I would get postnatal depression, and luckily I didn't. But it is kind of, it is all aimed around mental health and parenting, but also just a book to say, look, this is how I have done everything. This is how I have found parenting.
Yeah.
But it's not right or wrong. And whatever you do it is not right or wrong, because I can't stand the pressure and the judgment that comes from being a parent. And I don't know whether you feel it as men, but definitely as women, it's like this, it can be quite competitive, and people can get, especially online, people can get really angry at the things you choose to do.
Totally.
And I just don't understand it, because, I mean, you've got multiple children, so you know from one child to the next how different it is to parent each child. And and I've got my psychologist who kind of gives insights and tips, and my kid's pediatrician who kind of explains the way kids work and
how to
deal with it. So
that's really
because it said you've got, is it Dr. Ed Abrahamson, and you're the psychologist as well, Dr. Khan. So yeah, I think that's really good actually, because it's sort of, you can talk about your anecdotal experiences, but then they can be explained with academia, as it were. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Why you felt like that and why that was happening, which I think is a really important. There's a Ruby Wax's book, not to plug another book, but does that, because she's
really badly these plugs, isn't it, Frank?
This is going to get deleted.
Other people have written books about mental health, I'm afraid, Frankie. It's gone. Yeah, you've really cracked into a new thing here.
Tell me about this Ruby Wax book, Rob. It sounds really good. I'd love to hear more about it.
At the same time as mine, that would be even better.
Well, I saw it. It was just left on the side of the counter of a KFC in Camberley. No, but she basically struggled with her mental health. And then so she learned to be a therapist and stuff, and said, okay, I understand how to deal with these things, and these are the CBT methods. However, why do we feel like that? And all the therapists said, oh, we don't know. And then you had to speak to a neuroscientist. So she did like a degree in neuroscience to sort of understand both sides, which is what this book is, where you've got the day in, day out stuff of why you feel like that, and your feelings and your kids. But by having the explanations, I think it makes understanding it makes you be able to deal with it better, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. Which has been my whole journey with mental health, which is why I wrote my first book, just to kind of be like, this is what happened, but here are the people that explained it to me, helped me to understand it. And to understand it medically kind of makes you be able to make sense of it, instead of feeling like you've just lost the plot.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's such a great and brave thing to do, especially because there's so many, you know, men and women will look up to you and stuff. And you know, on paper, you know, success with the Saturdays and, you know, married to a footballer, all those sort of things that a young girl might think, if I have all that, I'll be really happy. But that's not how exactly. brains work, is it?
Yeah, no. And that's exactly why I've always spoken about it, to be honest. So, yeah, it's been great. It's been a great journey. And obviously the book, like through lockdown and all of that stuff, like that was like a real insight into obviously like being at home all the time with the kids. And I think most parents found that really difficult, hence how you started your podcast.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So it just seemed the right time.
Did you find that you know, the circumstance of lockdown, it made you sort of slip back a little bit into old habits and you had to work on getting back out of those sort of, you know, depression moments and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know what, for me, a lot of my anxiety comes from like social anxiety.
Yeah.
So at first it was just great. I was like, oh my God, I don't have to say yes to things that I don't want to do. I don't have to make up a lie as to why I can't come or say yes and then be like, Wayne, but I really don't want to go. So I kind of like really enjoyed it. And then when we started to come out of lockdown, I was like, oh shit, there's like parts of my old life that I don't really want to have back, and, you know, that whole busyness and whatever. So I found that really difficult. And then like with the kids, just explaining stuff to them, like, oh, you're allowed to go and see Nanny and Granda today. Oh, have the germs gone then? No, but now we're just allowed. Like, explain it. It's just so weird.
Do you speak to your children about your mental health? Like, are they aware of what you've been through and stuff?
I don't think they're aware, as in like I've never kind of properly told them yet. But like, you know, if I have a day, like Wayne's very good if I have a day where I just can't get out of bed, or, you know, I can't stop crying or whatever, which are a lot far and few between these days. But if I do, he's very good at just kind of taking the kids out, and I just kind of say to the boys, oh, mummy's not feeling very well, and they just kind of accept it at the minute. But I try and get them to talk about their mental health in a way of, I don't know, like when I pick my kids up from school, they do not want to talk to me. They don't want to tell me what they've done. They don't want to tell me what they've done or who they've played with. And I remember that feeling, but I still do it to them.
Yeah.
So at bedtime, I kind of just say to them, so what have you liked about your day today? And what didn't you like about your day today?
That's good.
And then they kind of tell me, and then I get an idea of, you know, what's making them happy or unhappy. And then if I forget, they're like, mummy, you haven't asked us about our day. <I'm> like, sorry.
But imagine if you got in from work and someone went, so what did you do this morning? Who did you talk to? You're like, shut up. Like, even as an adult, you feel like that. But that's a good way of doing it at bedtime, what they liked and what they didn't like.
Well, because they're avoiding going to sleep as well. So they'll tell you anything just to stay awake.
my daughter, you know, it was a heat wave a few weeks ago and it was red hot.
Yeah.
Then they were getting too hot and sweaty. So I went, oh, let's just bring them down and let them stay up for a bit longer. Now, even it's like, when it's cold, they go, oh, I'm sweaty. I need to come downstairs. Like, no, you're not. You heard me say that once.
I know. Don't. We're currently sleeping on the floor because I sold our bed and I haven't bought a new one.
What?
And
what?
What?
Why did you sell your bed when you didn't have a new one?
Well, I just decided that I didn't like it, and I know what bed I want, but then we haven't painted the walls, Josh.
And
I need to do the colour of the bed, and it's all a process, and then it'll probably take 6 weeks, won't it?
So, yeah.
You know,
so you're on the floor.
What do you mean on the floor? Have you got lilacs?
We're on a mat. Yeah. You know those blow-up sofas you used to get? We're all on one of those. We're just on the mattress on the floor.
Oh, so not but too bad.
Kids, like, no, so our kids sleep in bed with us like most nights.
Yeah.
And
do they start in their own beds or do they...
Minute, Rob.
Okay,
no.
So they go to your mattress on the floor.
Yes. And then we all get
They've got proper beds.
Yeah, they've got this amazing bunk bed with a freaking slide and they still come and sleep on the floor.
Have you and Wayne thought about sleeping in the bunk bed and then they can have the mattress?
Well, when Wayne is drunk, Wayne is not allowed to come to bed. So he goes to sleep in the bunk beds.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I'm saying to both do.
He has admitted to me that he was at one night, got home and went into said bunk beds and was sending his friend videos of him going down the slide.
Well, that's the thing. I'd be tempted just to sneak into the bunk beds once they're asleep on the mattress.
No, because it's so comfy. I like having them there, but the dogs now joined in as well, of course.
And the dog. Okay. Wow.
But we have a single mattress next to our mattress on the floor for one for normally the oldest.
Sounds like the
child.
Poshest crack den I've ever heard.
It is, yeah. And then like it's all bumped up to my side of the side, like so it's like one big massive bed.
Yeah.
Yet my son still gets off of his mattress and gets on my mattress.
Really?
I just don't understand why they need to be so.
Also, because at seven they're getting big now as well.
That's this is what I mean.
Have you got a plan? Not to pry, you know, it's up to you. Have you got a plan? Are you going to try and get him into the bed or just wait for him to not want to be in the bed?
I mean, I'm not going to lie, Rob. Probably wait till they just don't want to be in there anymore because it would just be so much easier.
Is the new bed off-putting? Has it got, like, bars around it and a lock so that you can, like, keep them out?
It's basically a big grown-up cot.
That happens a lot of kids, though. They get into the bed. There was a bloke I met who actually put in his bedroom because it was happening an actual bed. So they have the double bed and then an actual bed. So like, did you normally have the actual bed in there? Like, or is it just a mattress that's been put in there since you got rid of your bed?
No, it was an actual bed, but they'd come and get in that anyway.
Yeah.
But when they were smaller, it was a lot easier. But obviously now, and they always sleep diagonally. Oh, they always starfish. My youngest wants to be like right up my ass. Like, they can't get any closer. And Wayne, bless him, sometimes ends up on the single mattress. He's proper bottom of the pecking order now.
Yeah, because I wonder he's always up early training. I would be too if I was getting bumped to a single mattress.
Honestly, he come in one night and like I said, the rule is, because he snores so much when he's had a drink, if he goes out, he just doesn't come and get in our bed. He can sleep wherever he wants to snore in our bed.
Yeah.
And he come in one night and I got up, because our son's got asthma, I got up to get something and I went to open the door and he was at our bedroom door and I went, what are you doing? And he was like, I'm coming to bed. And I was like, really? And then I turned around, he went to get in the bed and there was literally a slither of bed left, right? And he's trying to get on, he couldn't even get both legs on. And I looked at him and I went, what the fuck are you doing? And he went, trying to get in bed. And I went, no. I said, get off and go and get in the other bed. And he picked up the dog, thinking I was talking about the dog, picked the dog up, put him on the floor. And I went, no, not the dog, you. And he was like, no. So I was like, yeah, fully at the bottom now.
What's the dog? What size is the dog? What breed are we looking
at? Oh, he's only little. He's a multi-poo called Turbo.
Multi-poo called Turbo.
I didn't know that multi-poo was a breed of dog.
But multi-poo, is he like buying a load of them or multi? Like,
I don't know whether I want to Google this, do I?
Multi-poo?
Maltese. I thought you meant Maltese as in multi-story.
Yeah.
I'm from Essex. I don't pronounce words properly. Maltese.
Oh, that is a small dog.
Yeah, he's quite.
Yeah,
small.
Yeah.
God, and is it from Malta then? It's from Malta. A Maltese is from Malta.
What, the chocolate?
Yeah.
I don't know actually.
Google it, Rob.
I've just googled Malta.
No, they're made from malt, aren't they?
Yeah, but what is malt from Malta? Yeah.
It's malt from Malta. This has gone off the rails.
Imagine, will this be making the edit?
I thought Ruby Wax was a low moment for the book promo, but this is a new.
Unfortunately, this will make the edit, Frankie. And there'll be someone screaming at their car radio, no, you idiots. Malt is a separate thing.
I look forward to the 70 emails about malt.
Yes.
Anyway, did you find writing two books now, do you find that a kind of cathartic experience and do you feel like that helps you understand what you've been through?
Cathartic, no. Stressful, yes.
Really, really helps your mental health journey, just adding more pressure.
It really doesn't. But it's worth it in the end.
Yeah.
And it did make me understand myself a lot. So like when I wrote Open, it made me really understand that a lot of my anxiety and my depression and stuff comes from control. So like I'm not controlling in day-to-day basis. Anyone can do whatever they want.
No.
But I've always felt the pressure to keep I like to keep all my loved ones and my friends and stuff safe and happy. And I always took that on as like my role.
In one bed.
If we all sleep in one room.
Wayne's mum and dad as well. Yeah. I think that's weird. And I'm going to call you out on that.
Have you seen Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yeah, it's like that. All the granddads.
And so I did learn a lot about myself through that. And then with Grow, it kind of came out of lockdown of like the frustration of the fact that parents don't feel like they can talk about, kind of in the way that you guys do very well, I have to say, is like talking about the things that you find hard and the things that you haven't enjoyed or the things that maybe you haven't done perfectly, but being able to laugh at it and not feel like you're a bad parent.
Yes.
And, yeah. And without having to say, my biggest thing that annoys me the most is that we all feel like we have to say, I love my children, but I know you love your children. Yes. Just because you don't like bath time or bedtime or you don't play with them for 20 hours a day, I don't sit here and think, oh God, you must hate them.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. It's just like anything, isn't it? It's just that, oh God, is that nap time over?
What alarm?
What's
that's
happening
the,
at 10 to 3?
That's the end of the interview if it had started on time. What's that alarm?
What's happening at 10 to 3, Frankie? What do you need an alarm for? After
another interview, guys.
Another interview?
Oh, no.
Who with?
Who is it? I don't know. No, some sort
come
of
on, tell us.
No, it's...
we'll get a serious one now.
Like magazine or like newspaper type thing,
right.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's as fun as this, guys.
Yeah, all they're going to do is trying to get you to slag off one of the Saturdays. We're better than that. We're not going to do that, but which one do you hate
the most? What's Molly really like?
They won't be talking to me about Ruby Raxton's
book. Yeah, so there's other book. But we're promoting your one, and it's called Grow, Mental Health, Motherhood, and Rob Beckett.
I keep going off on a tangent, and then you two keep bringing it back like proper presenters. I'm very impressed.
We're trying our best,
Frankie. Said about us.
But that's not why I'm here, guys. I'm just here to have laugh.
You're here to fulfil the obligation from the publisher. You've got to do 5 to 10 bits of press, and we're one of them, and you're very happy about it before you get thrown to the sun.
That's not true. I asked to be on here,
and
then you guys left me waiting, and I was thinking, oh my God, how embarrassing. No. They're like, we don't want her on our podcast. And then I genuinely, it's like, you know, when you text a new person when you first start dating, and I was like, oh my God.
No, Frankie, I tell you what, I'm going to pull you on this. I DM'd you ages ago, and you aired me. I slid
Did
into
I?
Your DM. Yeah, I'm going to find it.
Was it about the podcast, Rob?
Did I?
Hello, Frank. Here we go. 7th of June, 2020. Hello, Frankie. Hope you're good. Do you fancy coming on my parenting podcast? I host Josh Whittaker. We could do it over the internet. It takes 30 minutes, and it's just us slagging off our kids and moaning about how hard it is.
We are recording
tomorrow at 1 o'clock. If that doesn't work, we can do another time. Hope you, Wayne, and the kids are all good.
Nothing. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you, Rob.
Come on.
I didn't know that you and Josh were funny at that point.
Well, the jury's still out on Josh.
Until I sit next to a bin and eat some chicken, I don't think I could.
I didn't know how funny it could be to listen to someone talking about bin day. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, well, that, you know, you didn't take a chance on us then, but we didn't air you, frankly. We've always wanted you on.
Yeah, exactly. The moment you had something to promote, here we were. And we're delighted.
Yeah, now your book's out. Oh, Josh is on fire. See, I love that. I give him a bit of shit and he comes back strong with an absolute clamour.
I feel awful now. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no,
anything else you guys need me to do, I'll be there even when I have nothing to promote.
Oh, that's good.
Also, I've got in here a couple of other messages saying, fancy a drink sometime, Wayne's a bore, stuff like that you ignored as well. So, fair enough.
You weren't supposed to read it.
I'm sorry, Frankie. I'm really sorry.
Sorry, Josh, that I didn't send you.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
It's gone. It's fine. That's what, you know, that's why the book is about me. You know, motherhood,
exactly.
And Rob Beckett.
Rob Beckett.
Should we do the final question, Josh? Because Frankie's got to go and speak to other publications.
Yeah, exactly. She's got, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely fine. Right, here's the final question we always ask, Frankie. It's called Crosby's Law, where Matt Crosby sort of moaned about his partner's parenting. But if there's one thing that Wayne does, your partner Wayne does with the kids that really annoys you, but you can't really mention it in case you have a row, is there something, or you might have mentioned it already, but is there something that he does that just really annoys you when it comes to the kids?
Oh, God. I mean, there's loads. Yeah, I could whittle it down. Just give me a second, guys.
Is it the hangovers? If he's hungover?
No, you know what? He's very good on a hangover.
Is he?
Why?
Well, that's annoying.
That's the only way we've managed to stay together for 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's not how much partying or drinking does your partner do. It's how can they cope the next day is the killer.
Honestly.
It doesn't matter what they do the night before.
No, it honestly doesn't. I couldn't care less. As long as he's up the next day, bright and breezy on that trampoline, I do not care.
He's been on it all night, basically. It just happens the kids are awake.
Oh my God, I had something and I forgot it.
Oh, sorry.
No, you know what it is? What annoys me is that like he's definitely the fun one, which is fine because he's so much better at it than me.
Yeah.
But it's like, My eldest, I was always like his favourite, and now it really annoys me that Wayne's his favourite.
Really? Okay, yeah. Well, because also, does it annoy you as well how much exercise he does, even when he's hungover? Because that would drive me mad.
How much exercise is he doing?
Oh my, you've never seen anything. He goes for runs, but puts backpacks on with extra weight on it because he's so fit that he needs more weight.
Yeah, he does do that, Josh.
That's not going to be good for his neck, Rob. I'm going to tell you now. In the long term, he's going to get a stiff neck before you know it.
Stiff neck, massive stiff neck.
You need to pass that on because that's going to be so problematic.
It's more annoying if I'm like sat on the sofa and then he's on like his third workout of the day and I'm like just shoveling in.
Third workout of the day?
Just have a fucking rest, babe. Do you know what I mean? Just sit down, eat some shit. If he could just be more of a slob, that would just be better for all of us.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we'll have to let him know. We'll have to get him on. We'll have to get him on here and give his side of the story, frankly.
I know. Yeah, I did think if he was here, I was going to say he'd probably love to pop on, but he's not here. He's out having fun with the kids. See,
the fun one.
Before you go, Frankie, what is the name of Ruby Wax's book? Just so that we say it one more time.
Fuck off.
No, let's do a proper plug for your book. The only reason you're here, you aired us when you were.
Talk about your blooming books all the time.
I thought we'd been very reluctant in this interview. Ruby Wax has got more out of it than we have.
This is possibly the only interview that you haven't mentioned yet.
Really? Well, you know, we're not going to now. But if you do know, we'll save that for the outro. But your book, Frankie's new book, Grow Motherhood, Mental Health, and Me, aka Frankie Bridge, is out now. 19th of August it comes out, so it's out now. It's exciting, isn't it?
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Frankie.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
I really enjoyed it.
Thanks. I'm so sorry that I was late.
No, don't worry. You're late, but you finished on time. That's the main thing, isn't it?
You were late replying to a DM. Very late on that one.
Just
God, I feel really bad about that. I'm such a glory hunter.
It's 14 months, you know, then all of a sudden I'll put a bucket out next to some chicken. You answer my DMs.
She pops up. I know. I feel like that's probably happened to you a lot lately.
Good luck with the book.
I enjoy your more boring interview.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Frankie Bridge, what a lovely woman.
She's brilliant, Frankie. They're both, I know Wayne. I've met Frankie a few times.
So do you know Wayne through The Jungle, Rob, or just general?
No, so I know Wayne Bridge through Paul McCaffrey, who was on this show.
Yeah, of course.
They've been like childhood friends for 30 years. They knew each other at school, I think, or just being from Winchester. And Paul's a big Southampton fan, and he played at Southampton, Wayne. So I basically got absolutely battered. I used to get drunk with Wayne and Paul and a few others on Zoom. In the first lockdown?
No.
Yeah. So to the point where I was sick in the toilet, I got so drunk.
Oh, no. The celebrity life you lead, Rob.
Yeah, it's really crazy. Just in your house, drinking alone. But I'd get battered because you can't judge how pissed you are sat at a computer.
No.
But yeah, so I know Wayne a little bit, and then I've met out with him a couple of times. Like he's come to see me do gigs when I've done Paul McCaffrey's gig. So I know him a little bit and we chat a little bit. But I've not really spoke to Frankie that much. But she's lovely. She's really nice and so good being open about all those kind of things. Hence the name of us.
I think that's such a positive thing to be open about because I'm sure even when, you know, Frankie was first going through stuff, but it wasn't as open a thing in society.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And you know, part of the reason that it's changed, I think.
Well, I think so, yeah, because I think she spoke about it a lot, and I think she did that sport relief thing and talking about mental health. And like you say, she's, you know, in a girl band, a massive girl band, and Wayne's a footballer. Like, it's really like no one feels sorry for
Posh and Becks, isn't it, mate?
Posh and Becks. But when that book came out as well, mental health wasn't a massive topic. I mean, that's brilliant what she's doing. She's really lovely and really nice person.
Couldn't
and funny.
Agree more. Really funny.
Doesn't need to have that much personality when they're that beautiful when in a girl band.
Exactly.
She has got all
it's
the
similar
tools.
To me, isn't it?
Because me and you, we need a personality.
Frankie
Rob. Bridge does not need that much personality. But she's got it as well. She's got it. No. Good luck to her.
And the moment she becomes, you know, punctual, she'll be the full package, Rob.
That's
she'll
the thing, it's package. A hangover from the girl band days. No one's ever on time. But, you know, we'll forgive her. Anyway, right, we'll speak to you on Tuesday with another
See
episode.
See you then.
Bye.